parameters in the model. So there are basically four kind of behavior over time that occur. That is the exponentially increasing or exponentially decreasing, converging to some target value, oscillations, and S-shaped behavior. And then in real life, these patterns can be mixed to more complex curves, but all behavior that involves feedback is made up of combination of these behavior patterns. Then yesterday, I went further and considered first the case of reinforcing loops. And we started this case with a reinforcing loop, which was a case where we are having a virus infection of PCs with a very huge population of PCs that can be infected, so that we have a reinforcing loop that is acting over a long time. And I show that we could model that with this model in Vensim, and I could show you that the behavior indeed was an exponential curve. Then we consider the case of balancing feedback like this. And I illustrated that with a case of selling products whereby by each sale the number of potential customers, the number of people who could buy the product, is decreasing, and that leads to some converging towards the target value. The corresponding model in Vensim will be like this. I didn't create it, but I argue that you will see that part later in combination with reinforcing feedback when we studied S-shaped behavior. Then I made also the point that when you have balancing loops, you have either explicitly or implicitly some target value. In this case, if you consider a company that has some workforce but needs another number of workforce, the desired workforce, there will be a gap between the desired workforce and the actual workforce. Normally, they have too little people, they will have to hire. In some situations, they have too many people, they will have to lay off. Anyhow, this is a balancing loop trying to close this gap, and here is the corresponding system dynamic model. So again, and this is important, whenever you have a balancing loop, the balancing loop is trying to address some gap towards some target value, which might be explicitly given as here, or given by indirectly in the system. Then we consider the question of S-shaped behavior that starts with increasing behavior of some parameters. The growth slows down, and in the end, it approaches some target value. And this we then studied in the case of a computer virus epidemic, and that consists of two loops, a reinforcing loop that in the beginning is the strongest one, telling that each virus infection increases the number of infected PCs, like this, and the number of infected PCs generates more virus infections through contact with other PCs. And you have this reinforcing loop going round and round and round. By the way, I see now that this spiral here should be go the opposite way. So there's a little misprint here. And then as more and more PCs are infected, the number of uninfected PCs starts decreasing. So each virus infections decreases the number of uninfected PCs. On the other hand, the more uninfected PCs, the more virus infections that are generated. So you have here a balancing loop, and the combination of these two loops dictates the behavior. In the beginning, the reinforcing loop is creating a strong growth. As this reinforcing loop becomes weaker and weaker, this balancing loop here to the left takes over, and in the end it completely dominates the system. This is a model that you find in many other domains. It is a very common model of a shape behavior. So if we look at the model in causal loop here, we modify a little bit the shape to make this flat, so that when we compare with the actual simulation model that we can simulate, that has two levels, uninfected pieces is this one, infected pieces is this. So they say the same thing in principle. On the left hand side, it's just a causal loop that does not allow to simulate, but can be used to tell a story. On the right hand side, you have the actual model that is can be created with Vensim. And in that, you see how the loops are generated. The reinforcing loop here is this one. The balancing loop here is this one. Then we created the model, or actually, I show you the model in Vensim. This model here. And I played a little bit with it. And explained you in general terms how to make that model. Now, if you go now to the frontal page here for today, then you can see here the entry, how to model virus spread. And here I have put a new document, modeling a virus epidemic with Vensim. If you click on that, you get this document here. And this document tells you step by step what you should do, so as you can create the model yourself. It starts with the model itself and goes until the end, until you can simulate and you can compare two different cases with different parameters. So this document, it's a document for hands-on creation of the model, and I would very strongly recommend all of you to use Vensim and create this model. In addition to the description of how to build this model yourself, you can also download a zip file that contains three versions of the virus spread. It starts with only the reinforcing loop, and then it adds the balancing loop, and it ends up by creating the full model. Now, yesterday, when I tried to tell you briefly how to create these diagrams here, I had a problem in that the file that I was using could not show the graphs that I was using here. They were simply pasted to the to this view. We call them views. Later we'll see we can have several views of the same model. They were pasted here, but I couldn't find them. It turned out, I don't know why, that Vensim had no record of this. So what I did is I recomposed the model, made sure that the graphs were in place, and saved it and uploaded it. So the version that you download will have the full information. So how are these created here? Well, these are objects. I am clicking on them, this object and these objects. They are so-called input-output objects. I am pointing to that in the bar of Vensim. You see that here, you see the mouse moving. This object is the one that puts this in place. But before you can put this in place, you need to create the graph that you want to show. And this is all explained in the document here, modeling of a virus epidemic with Vensim. I will show you where this starts. Here. On this page, page five of this description, you have the entry creating input output objects. And there it is explained step by step how to do that. In fact, I have to change the description because I see now that, and that may be the explanation why we were not seeing anything here. I've seen they have created, I have created these graphs with one option. There is another option. So I will have to extend this description and upload a new version. So basically, when you are going to create an input-output object, there are two ways of doing that. If you are only displaying one parameter, then you can click on input-output object, put in somewhere here, and select the output workbench tool, and then you can select which parameter to simulate. For instance, the level, and you can select infected pieces or whatever. This is explained in the PDF file that I am referring to. But if you want to show several curves, or rather curves from different parameters, then the way to do that is to go to the control panel, this one here. When you click on that, you keep several tabs, and in the tabs graphs, you will see whatever graphs that have been created. These graphs have been created in advance. So this one, infected PCs, I can display what it does, and it is these curves. And that's the one that we see here when we simulate. This one, with the only difference that right now it's only showing, it's actually showing you the two different simulation files, the base, I'm pointing at that, and the virus spread simulation file with the same parameters. I will come back later and show you how you can compare the two with different values. But in principle, this one is the one I am showing here. Infected pieces. Whereas virus infection, it is this curve here. So, infected pieces, it is this one in below, and virus infection is this one. The difference is, what you see here, this is a separate window. It's some output. Whereas what you see below, there are objects that are now pasted to the view and that always follow with your model. So what I'm going to do is now very briefly tell you how such graphs are made and then implement or extend the description or how you create a model with such details. So I am going to create a new graph in the control panel. So I go back to from the beginning. I click on the control panel. If you have some graph here, like the time axis or variable or whatever, you have to move to the graphs tab. Click on that. Then you have to click on new. And then you have to put here some title, like displaying two simulation parameters, or two simulation variables if you prefer. This is going to be the title of your graph. It's also used to generate a name to the graph. Then there are a lot of details here. You can do a lot of things as to how you show the axes, the scales, all kinds of things. But for the time being, we concentrate on the simplest things that we need to do, simply selecting which variables to display. And here, I select, say, the number of uninfected pieces, this one, and as the next variable I select the number of infected pieces, this one, and all the other things that you see here allow you to put in more options. There's one thing I want to do. If I want that the scale of the two variables should be the same, to make sure that it is displayed exactly in Vensim, the shortcut is to click in here. That means then the two curves will have the same y-axis, the same scale on the y-axis. A more complicated version will be to put here the y-minimum and the y-maximum here and make sure that they are equal. But the shortcut is clicking here. Now, click OK. And now, select the graph, display, and there you see the two variables that I am displaying. And the reading is like this. Here in the bottom, you see the name of the variable that you are displaying. I am seeing two variables, uninfected pieces and infected pieces. Then, after the colon, you see the name of the simulation file that you are using. Vensim allows you to select several simulation files for comparison. And then finally, here you see the color of the curves being displayed. So the uninfected pieces is shown in blue color, it is this one. And the infected pieces is shown in red color, that is this one. And you see, starting with very few infected, in the model it's one, you cannot see that on the scale from 0 to 1, thus this is 1, but it is a little bit above 0. Then it increases slowly, then it accelerates, and here around here, until then, the reinforcing loop is strongest. But from now on, the balancing loop is getting stronger and stronger, and in the end it forces the number of infected variables towards a limit. In this case, we have nothing that stops the process of infection, so in the end, all the 1,000 pieces in the organization, in the intranet that are interacting with each other gets infected. This is a model that is simplified. In reality, this will not happen. How to extend the model so that people learn and stop the epidemics and so on and so on, this we can do later. We are now just considering a very simple case, understanding what happens, and then we can add new details so as to model more realistic situations. Then, as to the uninfected pieces, originally it is 999 pieces that are uninfected. Slowly the number decreases, then it decreases faster and faster as the epidemic sets on, and here the balancing loop becomes stronger, and therefore this curve finally goes towards the target. This is a display in a window. If I want to make this display part of the diagram, then I would close the control panel here. I will click the input-output object somewhere, here, for instance. And then I would select the output custom graph. It is a custom graph because I have customized it myself. In the output workbench tools, I simply let Vensim make the graph for me. in the output custom graph, I have made a graph myself. I have selected which variables to show and so on. So you select here, output custom graph, and then here in the custom graph or analysis tool for output, you select what you want to show. And the graph I want to show is the one I call display in two simulations. So click on that, click OK, and then you have it here. And you can give it any shape you like this. And then if I click on simulate, I say I get the data set, various predictions already. Do you want to override it? Yes. And there I get this. And now it is no longer a floating window, but it is a part of the interface. Okay. So this I will then describe for you in the document so that you can learn how to make different kinds of graphs. Now, what I want to show you now is a different thing. And that is, what happens if I want to compare two different simulation files? Okay? I have a simulation file. Let me first show you the simulation files. In the control panel, you have an entry, a tab called datasets. And there you can see which datasets that are loaded. The datasets are the simulation results file names. So I have two loaded, one that is called base and one that is called virus spread. Here in the bottom, I'm seeing both in this diagram because both have been selected. How did I do that? Well, I did it this following way. If I go back to the graphs and select the graph infected PCs, this one here, and I click on modify just to show it, then I have the title here. And I have the variable that I am displaying. And you see, I am displaying the same variable twice. I am displaying infected PCs and infected PCs. In one of them, I force Benzene to show me the variable for the simulation result base. In the other, I leave it open, which means that Benzene will show whichever simulation file that I have here. And I have the simulation file virus spread. So, at the moment, both simulation files are behaving equally. If I click here on simulate, then you see here in the bottom, both for the infected PCs and for the virus infection, the same result. You see just one curve, the blue one, because the blue one is on top of the red one, and then you see the blue one. So how can I see both? Well, to see both, I choose a different way of simulating that is called SynthSim, this one. If you click on this one next to simulate, again I am asked if I want to overwrite the dataset and say yes. Then you get slider bars for the parameters that are constants that can be changed. And they are the infection probability, the fractional contact rate, and the total number of PCs. Now you can change any one of them and give it a different value. And that will then compare the simulation for the new file virus spread. That's the one you are modifying the parameters for. And the base, which was the one with the values that I entered in the simulation model. So let's change that. You can do that by moving the slider. So I am going to increase the probability a little bit. And there you see the results. Now I have an infection probability. It's hard to see in the screen, but it is 0.3. Originally it was 0.2. That means it is a higher infection probability when a contact occurs between an infected PC and an uninfected PC then the probability of infection is now at 0.3, 30%, as opposed to the Bayes simulation where it was 20%. And therefore, the red curve, because the infection probability is much higher, climbs up very quickly and reaches the asymptotic limit much earlier than in the Bayes case. Similarly, for the number of virus infections occurring per unit of time, in the red curve, you see it climbs up very quickly, tops much higher, and then it decreases very much faster than with the blue one. And this you could do for any other parameter. You could then now, for instance, change the contact rate. In addition to the slide, you can also give it a particular number. If you click here, then you can't put which number to use for simulation. If instead of 2, we put now 1.5, decreasing the number of contacts, what do you expect? Will the red curve move to the left, that is taking off earlier, or would it move to the right, taking off later? So what do you expect? I am reducing the number of contacts between infected and uninfected species. So will then the red curve move to the right or to the left? If it moves to the left, that would mean you get a greater infection rate. But you are reducing the number of contacts. So it moves to the right. So even if I had an increase in infection probability, because I'm reducing the number of contacts, then I am now getting a slower development of the epidemic. You see here in the bottom a comparison between two simulation files. The original ones called Bayes, which is the one that I did originally with the parameters that I put into the simulation model. And the virus spread one that I have here, which I'm modifying the values of the parameters without changing the model itself. That's a nice thing. You have a model with certain parameters, but on simulation, you can change the parameters only in the simulation. And they are comparing. In the curve here up to the left, you can see I am using only one, I'm seeing two variables, but with the same simulation file, the one I am calling virus spread, the one that is active. So that's why I don't compare two different curves. I am seeing of the same parable, of the same variable. I'm seeing one curve for the number of infected species, one curve for the number of uninfected species. Remember that the reading is the variable that you are seeing here, for instance, infected species, the name of the simulation file, in this case Bayes, in the bottom, the virus spread, and then the color of each of the curves. Okay? Any questions? Okay, then I will close this and not save it because this idea is experimented. Then again, in the document modeling a virus epidemic with Vensim, which you can download from the Frontier Room, you have 6 pages describing a hands-on approach to model this virus epidemic with Vensim. And I encourage you all very, very strongly to do all these steps by yourself. Everything is explained here. So if you follow all these steps here, you will end up with this model. And you will be able to draw it, to define the equations, to give the initial values for the levels, to define which the dependent variables and so on, to simulate it, determine the right value for the time step, creating input-output objects, and finally putting in on the view so that you can see the results. There are more things that you can do. You can put, for instance, here numbers on the curves. In addition to having different colors, you can say that the curve is dashed and whatever. So you have a lot of possibilities to format your options so that you can create the interface that you like. And in practice, if you are a professional modeler, you will deliver your model with a very good user interface so that the users can explore what the model says and get insights by running the simulation. There is an important area that is a growing area now, which is called serious games. Games, they are actually simulations with an interface, but they are called games because it sounds flashier. It's a game, it's fun, so you are kind of playing a job, but they are serious in the sense that these games, this simulation interface, should allow you to get insights in some domain or some area. And here in Jövik, especially my colleague Anna Snekenes has been interested in that and has had some students developing such serious games for understanding better different aspects of information security. Okay, any questions? Okay, then we go back. Let me make a point here as to the frontal room. In the frontal room, we have a section, a folder called questions and answers. Some of you are already active here. I can see here that one of the students has a new entry called unit problem for creating the model for project 2. Okay, I will. So this student has posed a question here. The nice thing about this is that you can then go into that and study these things. There are, this may actually have been from a student last year. I did let it stand so that you can also learn from discussion that happened last year. This year, post 5 and 6, they are new. So in post 5, one of the students is asking as to how, why we didn't have sound and so on. I wrote an answer to that as to why there wasn't a sound. So this one, I explained why there wasn't and so on. So for each of these, you can have a dialogue with other students and with me. And the advantage of using the questions and answers area is that you are learning from other students. You have a social contact with them and motivate each other or even communicate insights or ask questions and so on. And as I said, I even encourage you to use this question and answers folder to discuss issues about the project that is an examination project. Because I don't care how you solve the examination project. So if you solve it by looking in books, getting insights from others, that is up to you. Of course, if you are proud of yourself, you will try to do most things by yourself. But you should still follow in the question and answers and discuss things with others, because then you are not only doing an examination project, you are learning. And I am concerned with learning. What I want you is to learn. So I want you to be very good students, and how you learn, how you get insights, I don't care. But I do care that your report is written by you. Every word you write must be yours. You must not copy-paste. And every diagram that you put in there, from Benson and so on, you must have done by your own hand and so on. And that's easy to check, because students that copy-paste from others, they tend to copy-paste the mistakes. And when I see exactly the same mistakes in two different reports, then sorry, you have, that's the smoking gun. Okay? Good. Then I have still a few more minutes, 10 more minutes in this first class. Let's go back to the lecture. So this we went by. The next slide now is, there is a kind of behavior in reality that is called overshoot and collapse. And that happens when something climbs up very fast and then falls down very quickly. In reality, we see that in situations like, for instance, overfishing, a collapse of natural resources, or erosion, overfeeding on a pasture. But we see that also very often in companies. For instance, it has been documented that companies that are on top in the world, just 10 to 15 years later, most of them have disappeared. Here is a quote that I have from a book. I suppose you could find similar quotes for later. The top 500 companies in the world in 1970, just 13 years later, 30% of those companies were no longer existent. They were broke. So that's incredible. You have the 500 or the best run and most effective company in the world, 13 years later they don't exist. They had failures and went broke. And this is the story that is repeating itself. And why does this happen? It does often happen because of that. They have an unsustainable growth and then they break down. Unsustainable could be simply that they don't have allocated resources for growth. They are growing and growing, but they don't plan for growth. I told you the story in connection with one of the archetypes, like companies that forget that growth requires more personnel, more staff, or more equipment. So they grow very fast and suddenly run out of resources to continue the services or the product. This has happened many times. But you could find similar things related to security. You could find organizations that perform very well in security and then they become too satisfied with what they are doing and forget to continuously improve, and then suddenly they experience mayhem. Now, in terms of modeling, how do you get overshoot and collapse? This has often to do with a very strong reinforcing loop that loses force, and then you get another reinforcing loop that runs in the opposite direction, in a negative direction. So you have first a virtuous loop, then you have a vicious loop. Okay. This slide is not so important. Archetypes we have already have. According to what I put in the front page, or the frontier, I told you that I will be concerned with chapter 3 and 4. 5 and system archetypes we had in a different way before. And now I will jump to chapter 6 and 7, very briefly. Okay. These slides is just an overview of situation where the management of a company needs to make decisions. And here there are many aspects that could force or could shape, could influence the kind of management decisions that they have. So the challenge here, if you want to think a little bit out of scene here, is how would issues related to security influence the way a company is run or should be run. I leave the question to you. This is the kind of exercises that you can do. They are not only about modeling, it's also about asking such questions and out of curiosity and try to answer these questions. Okay. But what you need to know, and this is applicable to security as well, there are many kind of problems that can affect a company. Unintended consequences related to security or security interventions. Time lags, that means there is a big distance between some causes and some effects. And time lags are very typical and happen everywhere. The performance of the company, the reliability of the company, communication issues, the staff, the morale, the productivity, the skill, resources you have, and the quality of information. So when you have a problem related to security, the problem can arise because things that have happened before, some unintended consequences of things that happened, or a big time delay between things that were done before and something happened, issues of performance, reliability, communication, the people, resources, information. So all this, you could extend your web when you are considering what is happening. Now, when you want to conceptualize a model, then you would put, for instance, different scenarios that you want to consider, how you measure that, what kind of initiative you could take, what kind of cost that would influence this, what kind of benefits you will have, and whether there are other consequences. So such diagrams, and I am speaking of you, of your future, if you are working in some company and you have to analyze what is happening and create a simulation model to deal with that, then one way of doing that is to create a similar matrix. And basically, this is generic. No matter what kind of issues there is, you can consider different scenarios. Of course, the entries here, they will be different. So if it's a case related only to security, then your entries here will be not about demand changes and competitors and so on. It will be different ones. But you will populate each of these columns with specific issues, and that will help you to get a clearer picture as to what you are addressing. Okay. Then the next chapter, which I will go through very, very quickly, is how do you actually brainstorm so that you can get data and build up a model. In the future, you will not have a person like me which tell you, here's the description of the problem, or model it. Rather, you have to create the description of the problem yourself. So you have issues, symptoms, all kinds of things that go wrong. And from that, you will try to find out what is going wrong and why, and what kind of data do I need in order to create a model to that. So even if this is an advanced issue, because during this class we won't do that, for that you need to be more advanced model and so on, still I, and also to have a real case in real life, still it's important that you get a view as to how this is done. So if the occasion arises in your professional life, that you can fall back on that and know where you can begin. Okay, then we take now a break of 15 minutes.